Welcome back to Radio Islam International on this Tuesday evening. Time right now is 16 minutes past 8 o'clock, and on the line we have Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, the Amir of Darul Ihsan. Mufti Sahab, Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullah.
Wa Alaikum Assalam Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh. Mawlana Shahib, and Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullahi Wa Barakatuh to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How is Mufti Sahab this evening?
All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Mawlana, and I hope you and your family all keeping well, Mawlana.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, everyone is well with your du'as, alhamdulillah. Despite your commitments and your busy schedule, we really appreciate that you have taken out your valuable time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all Mufti Sahab's effort for his deen, inshallah.
Ameen, Mawlana. It's been a long time, you know. I almost lost touch. It's like starting all over again. Make dua Allah accept and make it easy for us.
Inshallah, Ameen. Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab. Just to remind our listeners, if you have any queries, any Islamic related questions for Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, then the number is 076-786-2984. Mufti Sahab, the first question the listener wants to know with regards to the month of Ramadan: how should we prepare ourselves spiritually and physically for the month of Ramadan?
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. MashaAllah, very, very important and, beneficial question, because indeed we are leading up to the month of Ramadan. The dua we're constantly making at present, Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. So this we are leading up to this Mubarak month, and therefore it is very, very important that we should start making preparations for this holy month, especially from the spiritual point of view, but yes, even from the physical point of view. So I think the most important thing is to try and get into a kind of a beneficial routine from now for Ramadan. We should try and picture that we are in Ramadan and how we are going to spend our time in Ramadan accordingly. We should sort of make a routine from now. So in Ramadan, a very important thing is to have a good timetable. How we manage our time, and we should try and cut out all unnecessary things. We should cut out all unnecessary discussions. And we should try to maximize our time. We should try to set some goals for ourselves. These are those important things. Read good literature regarding Ramadan, especially the virtues of Ramadan, the lifestyle of the pious elders in Ramadan, and we should try to follow in the footsteps of the pious elders. Of course, we should also try to, regulate our diet and even cut down so that we can get our systems ready to receive the month of Ramadan. It mustn't be like those people who, in fear of the coming of Ramadan, they eat so much before Ramadan that they actually then lose the essence of Ramadan. Like those who eat a lot at the time of iftar because of the fear of staying hungry the whole day. So that is defeating the objective of Ramadan. So ideally, we should try and regulate our dietary habits as well, and that will all help, inshallah, towards receiving the month of Ramadan. We make dua Allah Ta'ala grant us all to see the Mubarak month of Ramadan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it spiritually uplifting for all of us. May Allah Ta'ala make it one of the best Ramadans that we will ever witness, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah, Ameen. Jazakallah for that pertinent advice, Mufti Sahab. Next question, it says, is it permissible to read Salah on a memory foam musalla?
Well, you see, Maulana, nowadays we have this memory foam where there is a thick foam, and obviously it sort of takes the shape of the contours of your hand and head and so on. Now, if you are able to touch the ground and feel the ground, then it will be fine to read the Salah on the memory foam musalla. But if it is not going to sort of permit you to feel the ground, because it's so thick that you can't even feel the ground, then it will not be correct to read the Salah on the memory for Musalla.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, Mufti Sahib, please, I need to know, I was born a Muslim girl. I left the deen to become Catholic, which she told family friends. She is a reborn Christian. What relationship must the family have with her? Also, is she entitled to any inheritance from the family, Mufti Sahib?
Allahu Akbar, Ya Allah, Astaghfirullah, A'udhu Billah, Na'udhu Billah. We seek Allah Ta'ala's protection from turning apostate and leaving the deen of Islam. After Allah Ta'ala has guided a person to deenul Islam, to turn away from deenul Islam is regarded as one of the worst sins, and for which there will be the worst azab and punishment. May Allah Rabbul Izzat protect our iman and protect the iman of our progenies till the day of Qiyamah.
Ameen.
Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْدَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّونَهُ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. If those people who turn away from deenul Islam, they must not think that they are, you know, they are going to cause any harm to the image of Islam, or they're going to weaken Islam. In actual fact, they are going to be replaced by other better people than them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people who turn away from deenul Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept any good deed of theirs. All of their good deeds will be completely wiped out. So it is a very, very grave sin in Islam to renounce Islam, to turn away from Islam. We make dua, especially for the sister and all others who have turned away from deenul Islam. Allah ta'ala must grant them guidance. Allah ta'ala grant them hidayat. Allah ta'ala bring them back into the fold of deenul Islam. We should make an effort on them, try to speak to them nicely, gently, convincingly, try to respond to their misgivings, etc. But after all the necessary attempts at inviting them have been done, and yet they are adamant and stubborn, then one should completely cut ties with them. And then there is no inheritance even for them. They are not even entitled to inheritance from an Islamic point of view.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah for that. Next question says, is a female allowed to make imamut for other women?
Well, it's not correct for females to have their own jamaat where one female will lead other females in jamaat. It is not correct. The jurists of Islam, they have regarded this as not correct.
Jazakallah, next question says, I've been making dua, but I have these negative feelings and doubt that if it won't get accepted, and I feel, what if I make dua and things happen the opposite way around? And when I make dua, these really bad feelings enter my heart. Should I continue with the dua or should I leave it, Mufti Sahib?
Look, these kind of negative feelings and thoughts that a person gets when a person is making dua, these are actually from Shaitan, the cursed one. These are what are called whisperings of Shaitan. These are what are called wasawis. And the purpose and objective of these wasawis is to prevent a person from dua, so that a person can be deprived of the tremendous benefit and reward of dua. So a person should never, ever succumb to this kind of satanic whispers, but indeed a person should continue making dua, irrespective of whether you feel good or you don't feel good. Dua is ibadah. Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. Ad-du'a'u huwal ibadah. Dua itself is dua, is an ibadah. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it's the actual essence of ibadah. So therefore, a person should never feel that the dua is not accepted. A dua is definitely accepted. However, it is accepted in different ways. Sometimes it is given exactly as it is asked for. Sometimes that which is asked for is not given, but something better is given in place of that. Sometimes what is asked for is not given, but a calamity is warded off. And sometimes the dua is not accepted in this world, but it is given to a person in the form of great rewards on the day of Qiyamah. So therefore, never should a person feel my duas are not accepted. And even if a person thinks the opposite is going to happen, that doesn't mean that dua is not accepted. The opposite may be even better for a person than what happened. So therefore, just ignore all of these whisperings of the shaitan make the dua with fervor, with zeal, make the dua with enthusiasm and yearning. Repeat the dua over and over again, and do not become despondent, but actually with even greater fervor and zeal, when these conditions overcome, a person make dua. Inshallah, soon that feeling that is coming, the negative feeling, with Allah Ta'ala's help, that feeling will be removed.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, one of the mutawallis used Jamaat's fund over 20,000 rand for an architect to draw up plans for flats in the vicinity of the masjid without the mashura with the public, and now they said a building will be too expensive. So should this be considered as khiyanat and brought to the public's notice, because some mutawallis sweep everything under the carpet and 20,000 rand of public funds were wasted?
You see, Amana, in a case like this here, we are not in a position to comment conclusively without listening to all sides of the story.
Mm.
Because obviously, you know what, the person who, for example, commissioned the building of the flat may have did it with good intention, and it is for the betterment of the community, maybe for income for the masjid or for attracting more musallis towards the masjid. So we're not in a position to comment whether he did the right thing or not, and whether he should be liable or not. At the same time, it could be that it was a frivolous exercise and he wasted and squandered the money of the Jamaat, for which he should be held accountable. But we are not in a position to judge that. That matter should be taken to the ulama in that area, the local ulama of that community, and let them, inshallah ta'ala, arbitrate the matter or mediate or judge on the matter, and then the parties that are involved should abide by the ruling.
Jazakallah for that advice, Mufti Saab. Next question says, can I use the dividend that I receive from my retirement fund to help pay someone's debts? I do not want anything to be paid back to me.
Well, if that dividend, first of all, we have to see that if the retirement fund was Sharia compliant, in other words, it was permissible, then in that case, a person can do whatever they want with the money. You can give it away, you can keep it, you can use it to help somebody pay their debt. There's no issue. If that money, that retirement fund was not Sharia compliant, then that money must be given away to the poor with no intention of charity. It must be just given away to the poor. And in this instance, if that person who is in debt is poor and worthy of receiving zakat, then he may also be given that money.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, can Mufti Saab please advise if someone is fasting and has indigestion and the food comes up and the throat and back down, does that break the fast?
Okay, now, if it just came up the throat but it didn't come into the mouth, then that will not break the fast. But if it comes into the mouth and a person swallowed it again, then it depends. If he had control over it and he swallowed it deliberately, then obviously that will cause the fast to break. But if he didn't have control over it and he swallowed it involuntarily after it came into his mouth, then that will not break the fast. So the only instance the fast breaks is when it comes into the mouth, not just the throat, and a person swallows it deliberately, purposely, when he could have spat it out, then that will cause the fast to break. Otherwise, in other instances, it does not cause the fast to break. As we are approaching Ramadan, I'm sure, Maulana, a lot of questions relating to Ramadan and the fast will be asked in these coming weeks. So yes, we already have this very important question regarding fasting, because sometimes we do find people that due to digestion difficulties and indigestion, they are not able to keep the food down. So, yes, in this instance, that will be the ruling for them.
Wonderful. Jazakallah for that advice. Mufti Saab, next question says, I want to find out that if a person wants to pay another person's salah that has passed away and he has a certain amount but not enough money, then what is the procedure, Mufti Saab?
Okay, if, you know, the person didn't have sufficient funds to pay for the salahs that, and the fast that were missed, then the heirs on their own will, they could contribute towards a fund to pay it off. If they have sufficient money, they should pay it all off. But if they don't have, then there is one method they could adopt, that they take whatever, say, as an example, he missed, say, 100 salah. And the sadaqatul fitr, which is the fidya of every musallah, is 20 rand. So it would mean that he had missed 2,000 rand of the fidya of the of the salah that he had missed. Now, if they don't have that full amount and nobody can afford it, then in that instance, let's say they can afford 500 rand. So they could give a poor person 500 rand, but they have an understanding with him that voluntarily and happily he'll take this 500 rand and donate it back to them, and then they will take it and give it to him again. So from 500, it will go to 1,000, and he'll give it back to them, and then he will donate it again to them, and they will pay it, and it will come to 1,500, and he will donate it to them, and they will pay it again, and it will come to 2,000. So in that way, they can sort of wipe out the amount of the mussalah on the head of the deceased, just to save his neck in the akhirah. That is all. So this is what is known as hila isqat. It is a kind of a legal loophole to try to pay off the missed salahs of a person who had missed the salahs in his lifetime. But as I said, it is only in the instance where people, they cannot afford to pay the full amount, they don't have it, so they can adopt this, what is called a stratagem, a legal stratagem or a legal loophole, which is called a hila. They could use the hila to sort of come out of this obligation to try and help that deceased person in the akhirah.
Just to remind our listeners, you are listening to our weekly Fiqh Q&A program, and on the line we have Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, the Amir of Darul Ihsan, answering your questions. If you have any queries, any Islamic related question that you want Mufti Sahib, that Mufti Sahib should answer to, then the number is 076-786-2984. The SMS and WhatsApp number is 076-786-2984. Mufti Saab, the next question says, if the separation does not work and she wants to end the marriage, can I give her three talaqs as we are not living together anymore? I'm willing to let her go if she wants to end it. Regarding the separation, we don't have the children also, Mufti Saab.
You see, we say that as far as possible, we should try and make a marriage work. As far as possible, we should make an attempt to reconcile the couple. And as far as possible, we should avoid giving talaq or even the lady asking for talaq. But if after all the efforts have failed and it was not possible to reconcile, then the couple could, you know, terminate the marriage mutually in a nice way with no ill feelings. And there doesn't have to be three talaqs given. One talaq is sufficient. The husband can simply give his wife one talaq e ba'in, or he could give her just one talaq, and when the iddah period is over, she will automatically come out of his nikah. There's no need to give three talaqs. One, when it's not necessary to give three talaqs, why should three talaqs be given? One talaq is sufficient.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahib. Next question says, if a person eavesdrops now and then, they have realized their wrong, they realize their guna they committed, and only them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know about the sin, how must I make tawbah? Please advise, as I'm a teenager and I feel very shameful of myself. It is very difficult to be a teenager and I want to be obedient to my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want to commit sins, but sometimes nafs and shaitan overpowers me. Shaitan really troubles me and I keep getting negative thoughts about myself, and I feel that due to my sins my future is destroyed, and I feel I am the most sinful person, etc. Please help, Mufti Sahib, is there any hope for me?
Look, we are all weak and we all commit mistakes. And we all commit sins. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ وَخِيرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ And التَّائِمُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that every human being, of course besides Anbiya alayhimu salam, are sinners. And the best of sinners are those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they make tawbah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who makes tawbah is like the one who did not commit the sin. So at no point in time should a person become despondent. At no point in time should a person lose hope. A person should at all times be hopeful of Allah ta'ala's mercy. Ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Allah Ta'ala gives hope to the believers in the Holy Quran that, oh my servants who have wronged themselves, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. Allah is غفور رحيم, the most forgiving and most merciful. Allah Ta'ala has taught us various wording in the Holy Quran whereby we should seek repentance for our sins from Him. Seek forgiveness from Him and repent to Him. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. That is in the Hadith Sharif. وَعَفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. So these are all the various du'as that Allah Ta'ala Himself has taught us. How to seek repent, how to seek forgiveness from Him and how to repent. So we should never lose hope, because if Allah Ta'ala did not want to forgive us, why would He have taught us the wording of repentance? Yes, no doubt, nafs and shaitan do overpower us from time to time. And the only way to overcome the influence of nafs and shaitan over us is to adopt taqwa and piety. And piety will come from the people of piety, sitting in their company, being with them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the ayat of the Holy Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. O believers, fear Allah, adopt taqwa, and be in the company of the صادقين. And who are the صادقين? أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. So the صادقين are actually the muttaqin. Allah Ta'ala is instructing us to adopt the company of the muttaqin if we want to acquire taqwa. So sitting in the company of the pious will help us to develop our taqwa, and taqwa will save us from sin, and it will protect us against nafs and shaitan, and that is how we will become closer to Rahman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us najat and salvation in the hereafter. So if either a person sits in the company of the pious, or otherwise writes letters to the pious or sends emails seeking advice and nasiha, which is known as islahi ta'alluq, or a relationship of reformation of oneself with the pious, email them, write to them, ask them questions regarding one's weakness, etc. They will reply, read the reply, ponder on it, practice on it, implement it in one's life. And this is how, inshallah, a person will make great spiritual progress. So therefore, we say don't lose hope. Always have hope in the mercy of Allah. And adopt the ways and means of repenting and reforming one's life.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question, if Mufti Sahib remembers, last year around this time also we did, there was something called Charlie Charlie. So I'm not sure if the next question is related to that, but the person is seeking Mufti Sahib's advice. Person says, Mufti Sahib, I got this one method of making istikhara in times of emergency. I just wanted to know if it's permissible, if I should carry out this, and if it's valid. The method is you take 6 papers and you write on 3 yeses, and on 3 you write no. Then you fold it and you mix it up. Then you read namaz 6 rakat nafal salam. And when you start, you put it on the left side of the musalla. And after every 2 rakats, you take one paper and you put it on your right. So when you finish your 6 rakats, you have 3 on either side of you. And you open the 3 folded papers, and whatever answer you got is your answer. Mufti Sahib, this seems to be dodgy, so I wanted to know, please advise of making the correct way of making istikhara, and if this is the correct way, what are the benefits of making istikhara?
We have never come across some kind of method like this of making istikhara. The istikhara is very simple. You know, Islam is easy. Ad-deenu yusrun. Allah Ta'ala has made deen easy. Why do we want to complicate things and make it difficult for ourselves? One short dua to be read for istikhara. The istikhara dua is, Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi ilmika wa astakdiruka bi qudratik wa asaluka min fadlika al-azim. Read the dua that is mentioned in the hadith sharif, and that is sufficient. Otherwise, if a person wants to read a short dua for quick istikhara, Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. 3 times, or 7 times, or 11 times. And inshallah, that short form of istikhara, the short dua, is sufficient. But this story of taking papers and I don't know what is the basis for this. Therefore, we say that just avoid these things which have got no real basis, and do what has been taught to us directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the authentic scholars of Deenul Islam.
Jazakallah for that advice, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, when someone owes you money, can you ask that person for that money that he owes you?
Yes, if somebody is owing you money, it is your haq, it is your right to ask that person to pay you, because it is yours. It is his duty to. In fact, you shouldn't even be asking him. The person that is owing the money should come and pay. Why should somebody go and ask? It's the duty of the one. When they wanted the loan, they came to ask, so when they have to pay, they must pay on time. But if they don't want to come forward, then you can ask in a nice manner, in a respectful way, in a nice, humble way, and give them a little extension of time if they are unable to pay. And in this manner, one should ask what is his haq and what is his right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very pleased with that person who is kind towards the debtor, who gives the debtor extension, who does not humiliate the debtor. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows great mercy towards that person. In the past, there were people who were actually forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for treating the debtors with kindness, and not, being harsh with them, giving them extension, even sometimes forgiving and writing off the debt. These are acts of great sawab and reward in Deenul Islam. It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that if you desire that Allah Ta'ala saves you from the punishment and the torments of the day of Qiyamah, then one of the ways to do that is to give extension to the debtor, to take his time to pay his debt, or in fact to even write the debt off. So therefore, it's an act of great reward and thawab, but one has got all the right to ask, and the person who borrowed the money, it is his responsibility to go and pay. He shouldn't wait for the people to come and ask. And if he can pay and he doesn't pay, then in fact he's deemed as a zalim, as an oppressor in Islam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has warned, Matlul Ghani Zulmun. The procrastination of one who can pay his debt, yet he does not pay his debt, he is guilty of zulm and oppression.
Jazakallah for that pertinent advice, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, what amal can be made to get your marriage back together if your husband is a very hard-hearted, unforgiving man, even though it was trivial?
It is said that, you know, the men are those men who behave in this manner, that they are cruel, hard-hearted, unforgiving. Because that is not the way of a Muslim. That is not the sunnah and the example of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extremely soft, tolerant, forgiving, compassionate, merciful, and kind. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was never harsh. He was never abrupt. He was never intolerant, unforgiving. So those who go against this way, they're actually going against the way and the method of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They should reform their ways. They should try to improve their character. If they want to act hard with the creation of Allah Ta'ala, then they must also expect Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to deal with them harshly. And that will be very, very difficult for them. So, a person who's in a situation like this, the ulama advise that you should read 19 times Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim on the food or water that is presented to this person, the food to eat or the water to drink. Read 19 times Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and blow in the water or the drink. You know how you make like a blowing sound. You blow into the water and the drink and give this person, inshallah, to the barakat of Bismillah, which has the two qualities and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of extreme mercy and forgiveness and benevolence. Inshallah, the heart of this person to the barakat of Bismillah will melt and it will become soft at least, inshallah.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Next question with regards to Taraweeh Salah. As Mufti Sahib mentioned earlier on, that now we'll get lots of questions with regards to the month of Ramadan, with regards to fasting, with regards to Taraweeh. So the person wants to know, does one make thana before every two rakats of Taraweeh Salah?
Yes, one should read the thana at the beginning of every two rakats of Taraweeh. This is the correct sunnah method of the Salatul Taraweeh.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, I just found out that after 20 years, my late husband physically abused my daughter. How do I handle this devastating news?
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahu Akbar. Indeed, very, very traumatic and distressing to hear a situation like this. But now we will say that it is a very serious thing, but it is also a very sensitive thing. So we say that you should rather go to the responsible people, make mashwara with them. Do not take this to all and sundry. Like they say, don't take it to Tom, Dick and Harry. Take it to a responsible, pious, senior, experienced alim. Let them look into the matter. Maybe the counseling should be recommended for the girl for the trauma and abuse that she has gone through. And now you should try to bypass this whole episode. The man is gone from this world. He will face the consequences of his action by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave him for Allah ta'ala to judge him and to deal with him. Try to be a pillar of support and strength for your daughter. and move on with life. Don't hold on and hang on to these things, because it can be very, very detrimental to a person psychologically. So all the things that are deemed negative in one's life, one should actually let go of those things and not hold on to those things. Allah Ta'ala give hidayat, understanding, and Allah Ta'ala give itminan and sukoon for those who go through these very difficult situations in life.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, can a person use interest money to pay heavy debts?
Yes, if a person is in such a heavy debt that now he's even eligible to receive zakat money, then even interest money can be used by that person to try and offset that debt and to pay it off.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab. Next question. We'll take one more question before we can go for our ad break. This person says, if anonymously, but all our questions are anonymously. We don't mention any names or anything on air. So the person says, is there any du'as or amaliya that can be done or to read to protect an unborn fetus, and also with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to lose that unborn, Mufti Sahab?
One should try and read the following du'as. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Rabbi habli min ladunka zurriyatan tayyiba innaka sami'ud du'a. Rabbi la tadharni farda wa anta khairul warithin. These are some of the du'as that have been mentioned in the Holy Quran, seeking pious and healthy offspring from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So try and read these du'as in great abundance, and continue asking Allah Ta'ala for protection of the fetus, and also stay away from all things that are negative, sinful, etc. Inshallah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a pious, healthy child will be born, and that will inshallah become a source of benefit for a person in dunya and akhirat.
Mm-hmm.
May dua Allah Ta'ala make it easy and grant pious, healthy and righteous child, inshallah, who will be the coolness of the eyes of the parents and will be an asset for them in dunya and akhirat.
Inshallah. Jazakallah for that. Inshallah, Mufti Sahab will continue with the second hour after the news bulletin.
Inshallah.
That was Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, answering your questions. Inshallah, we'll resume with the second hour of our Fiqh Q&A program after a news bulletin with Parada Muhammad Amin. But in the meantime, if you have any queries, any questions, any Islamic-related information that you want to find out from Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, any advice that you would want Mufti Sahab to give you, and then the SMS and WhatsApp number is 076-786-2984. That's the number, 076-786-2984. And the email address is suhaib@radioislam.co.za. We go for our ad break as well as the news bulletin with Brother Muhammad Amin. Inshallah, after the news bulletin, we'll continue with the second hour. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Welcome back to the second and the final hour of our Fiqh Q&A program on this Tuesday evening, 24th May, which also corresponds to 18th Shaban, 1437 AH. Time right now is 8 minutes past 9 o'clock. And on the line we have Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, who is the Amir of Darul Ihsan Center in KZN. And inshallah, Mufti Sahab will be answering your questions. If you have any queries, any Islamic related questions, if you want any advice from Mufti Sahab, the number is 076-786-2984, or alternatively you can email me. The email address is suhaib@radioislam.co.za. Mufti Sahab, welcome back and Jazakallah khairan once again for your time.
Assalamu alaikum Maulana, and assalamu alaikum to all team listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Sahab, the next question says, we have a bank account for our first child. Is it permissible to split the money to open an account for our second child? Please advise.
Well, actually, if you have money that belongs to the first child, you cannot take that and put it into the account of the second child. If you do that, then you'll have to replace it and put it in again from your own side, if you have taken the money of the first child and put it in the account of the second child.
Hmm. Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, is it true that if you sleep with your shoes by your bedside, it weakens your memory?
I've not come across this anywhere, Maulana. I think people may be sleeping with their shoes next to their bed, so they don't forget where their shoes are.
Gee, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, I don't know what to do. I am the second wife, so the first wife made him give talaq to me, and I'm expecting his baby. What should I do, Mufti Sahib?
Obviously, you know, it's not right for the husband to give her talaq when she's expecting a child. It's very wrong and irresponsible for him to do that. Now, he will be responsible to maintain her in that period of the iddat, and till the child is born, she'll be in iddat, so he'll be responsible to support her, and he will have to support this child and give maintenance for the child till the child reaches the age of being self-sufficient. So, obviously, the husband should have not taken a second wife in the first place if he was not going to be able to look after and take care of her. He didn't take a second wife to give her talaq. Even if his first wife so-called insisted, he should have used his intelligence and not just given talaq to the first wife or the second wife on the insistence of the first wife. So, you know, this is very irresponsible behavior. And it is very wrong to do so. In fact, he should actually revoke that talaq and he should reconcile with her and keep her now that she's expecting the child. Obviously, he's going to be spoiling the life of the child too. A poor child will be born without even a father. In other words, without a father's guidance in the life of the child. So it's not right. People who get married for the second time must understand the consequences. They must understand they mustn't just rush into it blindly and mess people's lives up. This is not correct. It's not in keeping with the teachings of Deenul Islam.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, if one has made niyat for 4 rakat sunnat salat, but during the salah the 4th jamaat began, is it okay to terminate the salah after 2 rakats to join the jamaat?
Yes, you can terminate at two rakats and join the jamaat. Because obviously the priority is to join the jamaat. So you should try and terminate it quickly and join the jamaat. And you can always read the 4 rakats later after you've completed the farz.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahib. Next question says, I heard a Mawlana saying that nothing can change taqdeer, but dua can change taqdeer. Can Mufti Sahib please explain this?
Well, what it actually means is this, that no matter how difficult something appears, or it may even appear to be like impossible, because it's impossible for anybody to change taqdeer. Taqdeer is taqdeer, you can't change it. But it means that even in the face of such an odd and difficulty, a person must not give up making dua. The idea is a person should make dua in all conditions and should not become despondent and lose hope. That is the intention or the objective of that narration, is that it's an exhortation and it is an encouragement, and what we will say, it is targhib for a person to make dua. Even in the most difficult, almost impossible condition, a person must not give up making dua, because dua is very powerful, and it is so powerful that if there was anything that could change taqdeer, then it would have been dua that would have changed taqdeer.
Jazakallah for explaining that, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, I'm a divorcee and I have earned every cent I worked for. Can I split the little money I saved between my son and daughter now to avoid conflict later on?
Yes, you worked hard. It's your hard-earned money and you have the right to distribute it in your lifetime. You may give it to your children, give it to your son, give it to your daughter. You have to give them equally in your lifetime. So you may give it out whilst you're living. There is no problem with that. In fact, it is better that you give it away to them so that they do not have to fight and bicker over it after you have left this world.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Just to remind our listeners, you are listening to our weekly Fiqh Q&A program on this Tuesday evening time. Right now is exactly 9:15. If you have any questions, any queries, the SMS and WhatsApp number is 0767862984, and the email address is suhaib@radioislam.co.za. Mufti Saab, the next question says, can we read Nafil Salahs for the marhums?
What it means when you say, can we read Nafil Salah for them? It means that you can read Nafil Salah and convey the sawab and the reward to the marhums. Whatever Nafil Salah you read, convey the reward and the sawab of it to the marhumin. And that way, yes, it will benefit them. And it will be said that you've read Salah for them, meaning you have conveyed the sawab of those Salahs that you have read to the deceased.
Mm-hmm. The next question says, ever since I embraced Islam, I feel like that there is a movement on top of my head and on my shoulders. And also sometimes I feel like I'm burning even when I'm doing salawah. Please help me.
Yes, it can happen sometimes. A person gets these sensations. It could be medical. It could be a medical problem that just suddenly occurred. Now, it had not, may have nothing to do with one becoming a Muslim. It may have just been that at that point in time, this medical problem arose. So go and have yourself checked up by a doctor, specialist, etc. But it could also be something other than medical. It could be some kind of effect of, you know, sihr and so on. So in that instance, go to an authentic and reputable person who does this kind of treatment. Go and have yourself treated. And also read the appropriate verses of Holy Quran like Manzil and the Mu'awwazatain and Ayatul Kursi. Inshallah, if it is a problem of that nature, with the barakat of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that problem will be resolved.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab. Next question says, my father is deceased. He did not perform all his salah. Can I pay kafara on his behalf or can I perform salah on his behalf? Jazakallah for the informative program.
Well, okay, you should, if your father is deceased and you did not, and he did not perform all his salah, then you should pay fidya. The correct word to use here is fidya rather than using the word kafara. You use you pay fidya on behalf of the musalla, but you cannot perform the salah on his behalf. You should pay the fidya on his behalf. That is the correct method. And for every salah, you give the amount equivalent to one sadaqatul fitr.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, is it a sin to walk past a dead animal and not to do anything in terms of example, respecting it or burying it, Mufti Saab?
Well, if one has nothing to do with the death of that animal and you saw the dead animal lying there, there's no obligation towards the dead animal. In other words, there's no requirement for you to do something. But if you do, in order to protect people from the harm or the inconvenience of that dead animal, then you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your good intention. Perhaps it could even become the means of salvation, that, you know, the smell of that dead animal, the stench of that dead animal, the germs of that dead animal could affect human beings. So to save and protect people and the environment, you took it upon yourself to dispose of it, bury it, etc. So you will be rewarded for this action. But there's no obligation for you to do it. The authorities that actually are responsible for the removal of such kind of animals.
Mm-hmm. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, my son is doing hifz, mashallah, and very lazy to learn. Is there something I can read, or is there something I can do to make him more dedicated to the Quran?
Well, you see, what you could do is to read fazail of Quran and the fazail of a hafiz to him over and over. That will motivate him, inshallah. Make dua for him. That will also be very beneficial for him. Play the Quranic recitation and recitals of the various qaris for him. that will also be beneficial for him, and sit with him, encourage him, you know, give him incentives, inshallah. In that way, he will slowly start progressing. And once he progresses, then on his own he will move, inshallah.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, if a husband has an addiction of still pain and spends his time watching TV all day, and I have to work and my two boys are afraid of him because he gives us strange, scary looks if we talk about it, and then he gets very angry. We have been to the Islamic care line and they advise us we cannot force him to go if he refuses to go. What do I do in the situation, Mufti Sahib, like this? My son is at a marriageable age and he's also afraid to get married. The father don't want to get off this addiction.
Yes, if you know, if somebody is gone onto some kind of addiction, even if it is, you know, regular medication like still pain or something like that, but it's an addiction, then that is a serious situation. It can affect a person, it can alter his mind, and obviously then a person is not mentally stable. And therefore, it can be a source of great unhappiness and instability in the home. So, the best thing to do would be to try and get some assistance from family and relatives and, you know, the ulama in the community, and also to try and get some counselors to come in, do some drug counseling, try and send the man to rehab, try and get him off this habit of, you know, still pain, you know, to try and get him to stop that taking of these tablets. So, inshallah, with these kind of measures, inshallah, hopefully he will come out of this addiction.
Inshallah. Jazakallah for that. Mufti Sahib, next question says, what dua can I read to pass the driver's license test? Mufti Sahib, do you have any duas?
Yeah, you know, for general du'as you can make for a situation like this, one can read La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min az-zalimin, which is Ayat-e-Kareema. Also very beneficial, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. These particular du'as, these two du'as are very, very powerful and very beneficial. If a person reads just these two du'as, inshallah, to the barakah of that, he or she will, you know, succeed in whatever intention they have, whatever objective they have. And if a person wants a license, inshallah, to the barakah of this dua, the license will also be obtained.
Inshallah. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, I need to know if a wealthy man decides to adopt a family who is needy and no one works in that family, how much monthly zakat in English terms does the person give per month to the family of three, Mufti Sahib? Does he give the amount that he feels is right, or is there a certain amount according to Sharia that he needs to give, Mufti Sahib?
Well, there's no amount according to the Sharia. It depends on the needs of that family. It also depends on their circumstances. Their number also may be one factor, but it's not the only factor. There may be some persons who is chronically ill and will need medication and which cost a lot of money and which they can't obtain free of charge. Then they can be given zakat money for that reason. So the bottom line is what their needs are. He must assess their needs and give them zakat according to their needs, whatever he can afford to give.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, what is Salatul Hajat and how do you read the Salah?
Salatul Hajat is a dua for need. It's just two rakats of Salah. You could read anything, first rakat, Qul Ya Ayyuhal Kafirun, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, or any other surahs that you know. And thereafter, you raise your hands and make dua fervently for the fulfillment of whatever need you have. One dua is narrated in the Hadith Sharif regarding this, La ilaha illallah al-Halimul Kareem, Subhanallah Rabbil Arshil Azim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. أسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدعني ذنبا إلا غفرت ولا هما إلا فرجت ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. This dua is the recommended dua for a person who is wanting some need of his to be fulfilled. So, inshallah, if a person reads the two rakats and then makes dua with these wording or any other wording that is easy, inshallah, to the barakat of that, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill the needs of that person.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Next question. Early on, Mufti Sahib discussed with regards to istikhara and istikhara salah. The person says, if my heart and mind is set on something, must I still perform istikhara salah? And how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show me the signs?
Whether your heart is set on it or not, but istikhara is to seek guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seeking guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in all cases whether a person has made up his mind or not, because he may think that it's very good for him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it's not good for him. So by making istikhara, he's actually able to get guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will guide him. So istikhara should be done in all instances. In all cases, and there's no sign for istikhara. Whatever Allah Ta'ala puts in a person's heart, and he practices on that, inshallah, that is a sign of the istikhara. Even if nothing comes in his heart, but he practices on what he decides on what he thinks is appropriate, that is the fulfillment of the istikhara.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Next question is with regards to Salah. It says, how do you pray surahs in Salah? Like if one prays Suratul Kawthar in the first rakat, then Surah Ikhlas in the second rakat, will this be permissible?
Yes, that will be permissible. There's no problem.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Next SMS says, Mufti Sahib, I'd like to know, can I eat birthday cake in advance or belated? I mean, not the same birthday days. Cake, also somebody phones, I tell them I am reading namaz, and I also tell them that reading Salatul Tasbih. Is my namaz accepted if I tell people what I'm doing? However, I wear my winter pajamas upside down because it's more warmer. Am I getting sun in doing that? So about three questions in this SMS, Mufti Sahib.
Go one at a time, Maulana.
Ji. Firstly, I would like to know, can I eat birthday cake in advance or belated birthday cake? I mean, not the same birthday on the same day that you eat the cake?
If you like to eat cake, eat any day of the year. It doesn't have to be on any birthday. There's no significance of eating cake on birthday. Just be careful of putting on too much of weight, that's all.
The second question says, if someone phones, I tell them I'm reading namaz, and I also tell them that I'm reading Salatul Tasbih, will my namaz still be accepted?
Well, as long as you're not telling them whilst you're in Salah, you know, like some people, they tell, I've seen a person answering his phone, while she was in Salah, he told the person, Anafis Salah, Anafis Salah, I mean Salah. So you can't obviously tell somebody while you're in Salah. But yes, out of Salah, if somebody phones you and you tell them, look, I'm a bit busy, I'm reading Salah. So there's nothing wrong in that. If you're telling the person you're reading Salah because you don't want the person to disturb you, then it's, but if your intention is to show off that, yes, you know me, I'm so pious, I'm reading Salah, then obviously that will not be correct.
And then the same person's third question says, Mufti Sahib, that sometimes in winter I wear my pajamas upside down because it's more warmer upside down. So am I getting any sin in wearing clothes upside down?
There's no, it's, you are absolutely free to wear your clothes anyhow, as long as you're covering those parts of your body that need to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear it however you want. There's no sin for wearing it in any possible way that you want to wear it. I'm not sure how it works out that way, but if you feel comfortable to wear it like that upside down, then wear it upside down. Nobody can stop you or tell you not to do so.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question says, is it permissible for a mother and daughter to read Salah together?
Reading Salah together, I would assume that they are in the same room, and they're obviously, mother is reading her Salah, daughter is reading her Salah. Yeah, there's no problem with that. They can definitely read the Salah together, or if they want, they can read it in separate rooms. There's no hard and fast rule as far as that is concerned.
Mufti Sahib, we know you are traveling at the moment. You are in Johannesburg, and tomorrow morning you need to go back. So, inshallah, we'll end off with the last question. And then there was a latest bayan given by Mufti Sahib in Port Elizabeth last week, a comprehensive dua, Rabbana Atina. So, inshallah, we'll play that for our listeners for the remaining time. So, the last question, Mufti Sahib, says, I just want to know if a person is not working and he's in financial difficulties, can he accept zakat money from his brothers or family members?
If a person is in financial difficulty and a person is seriously looking for work but can't find work and can't find employment, and just to sort of cover the expenses for that period of time, if he receives zakat money from his brothers, sisters, then it is permissible. There's no problem. They will be rewarded for it as well.
Mufti Sahib, we leave it there and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you'll be traveling back to Durban tomorrow. Allah make it easy for you, and we say Jazakallahu khairan for availing yourself despite being on safar. Also, you still came on. We really appreciate it. And inshallah, we'll play the lecture that was given about 4 days back in PE. The topic was a comprehensive dua, Rabbana Atina. So inshallah, we'll play that and we'll end the program, Mufti Sahib.
Inshallah. Actually, that lecture was given on my PE journey, but it was given in Uitenhage, Molna, which is, by the way, I came to know when I went there, the hometown of Molana Habib Bobat's in-laws.
Yes. Even Port Elizabeth is hometown of our resident Mufti Musaji.
Yes, Maulana, alhamdulillah, Radio Islam has got people from across the length and breadth of the country.
Alhamdulillah, that's why it's called Radio Islam International, Mufti Sahib.
MashaAllah.
Mufti Sahib, we'll leave it at that. Jazakallah, inshallah. We'll speak to you soon again, and inshallah, before the month of Ramadan, and in Ramadan also, we'll speak to you again.
Inshallah, Aziz Maulana, all the best, and may Allah Ta'ala grant all our esteemed listeners barakah in the balance of the days of Shaban, and grant us all to witness the beautiful month of Ramadan.
Amin, amin. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib Damat Barakatuhum answering your questions, and we do apologize, as Mufti Sahib mentioned that this morning before Fajr he was here in Johannesburg already, and he needs to go back to Durban tomorrow morning, so he has asked to terminate the program a little earlier so he can have a good rest, inshallah. But we are going to play a bayan, inshallah. We'll go for our ad break. When we return after the ad break, we'll be playing the latest lecture of Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, which was given in Masjid Ibadur Rahman in Port Elizabeth. The topic was a comprehensive dua. Stay tuned.
But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns that supplication because they were deficient and defective in their supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records their defective supplication in the Holy Quran to teach us the lesson that if you do not make that mistake that they used to make, do not follow the example that they used to set. They used to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their supplication was defective. It was deficient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of their supplication in the Holy Quran itself, the defective supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from the people, and Allah speaks about the Hajj after the Arafat. ثُمَّ أَفِيضُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَاضَ النَّاسُ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا.
Allah speaks about Arafat and Mina and all the places of Hajj, starting off from Al-Hajj Ashhurum Ma'lumat. This is in Surah Al-Baqarah. After mentioning all the aspects of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then comes to that part where He says that وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. Now the Hajj is over, there are those people who supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the supplication is incomplete. Why? Because what do they say? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, give us in this world. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. For them there shall be nothing, no share for them in the Akhirah. Why? Because they made the dunya, the world, the maqsad, the objective, the purpose of life. So they only ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that do not be like those people, that they only ask for this world and the things of this world. They made two mistakes. One mistake is they only confine all their supplications and prayers for the things of this world. They didn't ask for Akhirah because they didn't have no belief in the Akhirah. So therefore they only asked for this world. They had completely ignored the Akhirah. They had turned their backs on Akhirah. They had no fikr and concern for the Akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemns. That's one mistake. The second mistake they made is they asked for dunya, but they asked for dunya anyhow. In other words, they did not care whether dunya came to them through halal or haram, whether it came through the way of justice or injustice, whether it came to them permissibly or impermissibly, whether it came with barakah and blessings or it came without barakah and blessings, all they wanted was dunya. They wanted the things of dunya, they wanted the pleasures of dunya, they wanted the enjoyment of dunya. Their whole focus was dunya, dunya, dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not be like these people, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. For them there shall be nothing in the hereafter. Because if a person desires only dunya, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us in the Holy Quran. Man kana yuridu al-ajila, the one who desires only the life of this world. Ajila, that means something that is immediate. Akhirah is something later. So the comparison or the contrast between ajila and akhirah. Man kana yuridu al-ajila, they want something immediately, they want immediate gratification, immediate pleasure, immediate enjoyment. They want it all now and now immediately. Man kana yuridu al-ajila. Allah says those who desire, Surah Bani Israel, those who desire al-ajila, the life of this world, ajjalna lahu fiha. We'll give it to them. But ma nasha liman nurid. How much? We will decide. Who? We will decide. Not everyone who desires will be given everything he desires. Not everyone who desires will be given. And not everyone who is given will be given what he desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to some and he will give them some of what they want. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ. Then the outcome of these people will be the hellfire. يَسْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْعُورًا. They will enter therein disgraced, humiliated, punished. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Those who desire Akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but two conditions, two shara'it. الشرط الأول وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا والشرط الثاني وهو مؤمن. First condition, you desire the hereafter, but it is not just an empty desire. And a person is just wishful thinking, Ya Allah, give me al-firdaus al-a'la, and grant me this and that in the hereafter. But a person makes no effort or sacrifice. He makes no exerted effort for the hereafter. Then that is wishful thinking. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-mawt. وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعُ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِ. The intelligent person is that person who prepares for the life after death. And the foolish person is that person who has high hopes. I will get this in Akhirah and I will achieve this in Akhirah. وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِ. But he's ajiz, he's a foolish person. Because he makes no effort for it. So Allah Ta'ala says, first condition, وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. They make the necessary effort. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. And the second condition, they have iman. Because without iman, a person can make, look at the, some of the Christians, how much of effort they make for prayers and so on, and service of humanity and mankind. But وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن. لَا وَهُوَ كَافِر. They don't have iman, so they will have nothing in Akhirah. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Allah says, these are the people whose efforts will be appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them what they desire. Coming back, my dear friends, to the subject matter. So there are two groups of people. There are those people who only wanted dunya, and they ask Allah, give us dunya. They did not say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا. They did not ask for the goodness of this world. They just wanted dunya anyhow, good or bad. One incident comes to my mind, which I would like to share with my brothers. There was a person, he was a very poor person, but he served his parents for many years, and they blessed him with du'as and so on. So when his parents passed away, he was still very poor. And on one occasion, a person came to him and presented to him 1,000 gold coins and said, I have brought a gift for you. So if it was me or you, we would have said, Bismillah, Jazakallah, Barakallah, Mashallah, bring it, give it, let me take it. But no. This person, he was intelligent, he was wise. He asked this person, bi barakatin or bi ghayri barakah? This what you've given me, is it with barakah and blessings in it, or it's without barakah? That person said, there's no barakah. He said, take it away, I don't want it. His wife was very upset with him, that what kind of foolish man are you? Somebody is offering you so much, and you turned it down. He said, no, I will not take it if it is without barakah. My dear friends, after some time, a person comes to him and offers him 100 gold coins, and he says, this is yours. Again, he asked the same question, with barakah or without barakah? He says, no, it's without barakah. He says, no, I don't want it. Please, take it back. Again, his wife is upset with him. You're a foolish man. You've been offered this and you're turning it down and we are in need. He said, no, I won't take it if it is without barakah. Then, after some time, a person comes to him and offers him 1 gold coin. And he asks the same question, bi barakah or bi ghayri barakah, bidun barakah. He says, no, this 1 gold coin is with barakah. He says, barakallah, jazakallah, mashallah, give it to me. He takes it, he goes home. He shows his wife. His wife says, now what, you come in with 1 gold coin? We had an offer of so much. He says, no, this is with barakah. So she says, okay, go and buy some food from the marketplace. We'll buy some food. We'll have something to eat. For many months we were just barely surviving. So buy something for me and the children to enjoy. So he feels that, okay, let me go and buy some fish in the marketplace, in the fish market. And he goes with that gold coin of his and he buys fish in the fish market, and he brings the fish home, and now his wife gets ready to prepare that fish to cook it, and she cuts the fish open, and subhanallah, inside the fish they find two beautiful pearls, extremely valuable, beautiful pearls, expensive pearls. He takes these pearls and he goes to the jeweler. The jeweler says, these are so expensive, I cannot afford to buy it. The only person who can afford to buy it is the king of the country. Go and offer it to him. Perhaps he will be interested in buying it. He goes and offers it to the king. The king looks at it. He says, this is very, very precious, very valuable. Where did you find it? He gives the whole background of the story. The king gives him bags full of gold coins and says, take all of this in lieu of these gold, in lieu of these pearls. So my dear friends, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us. The next verse, that when we ask dunya, then don't ask for dunya just for the sake of dunya, but ask for dunya that must come with hasana and goodness. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, the second group of people are those people who supplicate and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner, in the right way. And they supplicate in these words. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. They are those who supplicate to Allah ta'ala in a proper manner. Allah praises those people. Allah says they are among people, those who pray in these words, supplicate in these words, oh Allah, grant us hasana in this world, grant us hasana in the akhirah, and save us from the fire of hell. This dua, my dear brothers, it is, according to the ulama, this is the most comprehensive dua, jami'ud dua, in the whole Quran and hadith. We will not find a dua that is as comprehensive as this dua. This dua encompasses khair ad-dunya wal akhirah, the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. This dua and this supplication, my dear friend, is something that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would at times supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than 100 times a day in the words of this dua. In the narration of Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, he says that I heard Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making dua more than 100 times, asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So my dear friends, this dua is a very, very comprehensive dua, and it is a dua that Allah has praised, and Allah has praised those who make dua in these words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ نَصِيبُ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا. These are the people who will get a share of what they earn in for the hereafter. They will get a share of that. Allah has praised them. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, that when I saw Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicating and making this dua so often, he says that after that it became my practice also to continuously supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these words. And whenever anybody came to Sayyidina Anas and said, Ud'uli, make dua for me, then he would make dua with these words, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ. Delegations used to come to him for nasiha and advice, and then they would ask at the end, make dua for our sheikh, and he would make the same dua. Because this is the best dua. It is the dua of the Holy Quran taught to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is comprehensive. It covers, like they say, comprehensive cover. You take comprehensive cover, covers everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us comprehensive cover in this dua, that it is comprehensive. It covers everything of dunya and akhirah. One day a sahabi came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was gone very, very weak. According to the riwayats, it comes that he was gone like a chicken. He was gone thin and very, very weak and sick. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what is wrong with you? He says that, oh Allah's Nabi, when I heard of the hereafter, the adab, I made dua that, oh Allah, punish me in this world so I don't have punishment in the akhirah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, why did you make a dua like this? You should have never made such a dua. Rather, you should have made this dua. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted him to make this dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina azab an-nar. A few days later, alhamdulillah, he recovered completely and he became normal again. Therefore, my dear friends, it is said that in the tawaf, especially between the Ruknain, Rukn Yamani and Hajrul Aswad, between these two places, it is the most encouraged time to make dua with these words, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. We see the people who make tawaf, they read this dua excessively, because we are asking for everything in this one dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that we don't only ask for akhirah, we ask for dunya, but we ask for hasana fid dunya. Now, what is the meaning of hasana fid dunya? What is the meaning of hasana fil akhirah? This is explained by the great authorities and scholars of Islam. Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi sahibu Ruhul Maani, the author of the famous tafsir Ruhul Maani, he explains what is the meaning when we say Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. What is the meaning of hasana in dunya? I am mentioning this also, my dear friends, because tomorrow night, as we know, is Laylatul Nisf min al-Sha'ban. It is the 15th night of Sha'ban. And there are 8 Sahaba who make mention about the importance of Laylatul Nisf min al-Sha'ban, riwayat from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allama Mundhiri rahmatullah alayhi in al-Targhib wa al-Targhib, the famous compilation of hadith, has mentioned 14 riwayat, 14 narrations about the significance and importance of Laylatul Nisf min al-Sha'ban. And he narrates the riwayats from Abu Bakr Siddiq, Abu Musa Ash'ari, and also from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and other Sahaba have mentioned in the various narrations they have narrated about the importance and significance of Laylatul Nisf min al-Sha'ban. And amongst the great acts of ibadah and worship on Laylatul Nisf min al-Sha'ban, the 15th night of Sha'ban, which in India and other parts of the world they call Shab-e Barat or Laylatul Barat, it is to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should supplicate profusely with this dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hasana in dunya. Allama Alusi rahmatullah alayhi explains what is hasana fid dunya. My dear friends, we have run out of time, but just very briefly, in about a minute or so, I want to explain. He has given 9 tafsirs of Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. What is the meaning of hasana fid dunya? It means the following: Al-Afiyah, to ask for of safety and protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that we are living in a world that is full of turmoil and turbulence and violence and crime and killings and murder and oppression and zulm and tyranny. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Al-Afiyah, number one. Tafsir number two, Az-Zawjatu Salih or Az-Zawjatu Salihah, a pious wife. Tafsir number three, Al-Awladul Abrar, pious children, good children. Tafsir number four, Al-Mal Al-Halal Al-Salih, halal, pure wealth. Number five, Tafsir number five, Sana'ul Khalq, the praise and good words of the people around us. Tafsir number six, Al-Ilm, knowledge of Islam. Tafsir number seven, Fahmul Deen, the proper and correct understanding of Deenul Islam. Tafsir number eight, As-Sohbatu Salihah, good companionship. And tafsir number nine, Al-Nasru Alal A'da, help and assistance against those who are our enemies. So when we say Rabbana Hatina Fid Dunya Hasana, we are asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all of these things. Everything is included in there. So therefore, when we say Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, in fact, my dear friends, after every salah, we should be supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these words. And we should think of all of these things and say, O Allah, grant us all of what is included in al-hasana. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. What is the meaning of hasana in akhirah? There he has given 6 tafsir, but unfortunately we have run out of time. So inshaAllah, if Allah permits on some other occasion, we will try to explain that. But in the meantime, my dear friends, the summary and the crux of all what we have been spoken about today is that let us hold fast unto the supplication of Quran and Hadith, especially this particular supplication, which our Rasul made more than 100 times daily. We should hold fast unto this, and we should make it part and parcel of our life, and introduce it, and encourage our family also to do so. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.